From that equal creation, they derive rights. That phrase is crossed out, this time with a different pen, and replaced with endowed by their creator with rights. Given Jefferson's skeptical views on religion, it does not seem like a phrase he would use. It was probably suggested by John Adams, whose religious views were more conventional. Thus we see in the editing of just the second sentence of the Declaration of Independence, our founders balancing the role of divine providence and that of reason in determining our rights. It became the greatest sentence ever crafted by human hand. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. On its 250th birthday, each of its words and concepts bear scrutiny and appreciation. We. Let's start at the beginning, the word we. The first word of the sentence is also the first word in the Constitution, drafted 11 years later, which begins, "We the people." That phrase, "we the people," is as profound as it is simple. Our governance is based not on the divine right of kings or the power imposed by emperors and conquerors. It's based on a compact, a social contract that we the people have entered into. Let's hold off for the moment addressing the question that women, blacks, Native Americans, and others might ask, "What do you mean, we?" We'll deal with that when we get to the discussion of all men. For now, let's focus on the idea that the authority of any government, since the dawn of civilization, should be based on the concept of a social contract. Social contract theory gained currency during the Enlightenment, beginning in the 17th century. The English philosopher Thomas Hobbes, in his 1651 book, Leviathan, hypothesized that humans in primitive times lived in a state of nature with no government. Lacking rules, this anarchic war of all against all meant that life for most people was solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. In order to emerge from this state of nature, people eventually came together and agreed to submit themselves to governing authorities. The founders, and in particular Jefferson, were mainly influenced by a version of the social contract theory that was developed by John Locke in his 1689 Second Treatise of Government. He wrote, "The only way whereby anyone divests himself of his natural liberty and puts on the bonds of civil society is by agreeing with other men to join and unite into a community for their comfortable, safe, and peaceable living, one amongst another, in a secure enjoyment of their properties." The Scottish philosopher David Hume refined the concept in his 1748 essay of the Original Contract by explaining how governments derive their authority. The people, if we trace government to its first origin in the woods, are the source of all power and jurisdiction, and voluntarily, for the sake of peace and order, abandon their native liberty and received laws. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, whose 1762 book The Social Contract Jefferson had in his library, defined the we as the general will of the people. He wrote, "Each of us puts his person and all his power in common under the supreme direction of the general will." Jefferson was invoking this collective will, not just the will of the 60 men gathered in Philadelphia when he began his sentence, "We hold these truths." Self-evident truths. What did